and was not at all surprised to find that it had been written in the same semi-literate scrawl. "Friends, be warned. The evil, treacherous ratmen of Clan Pestilens do plot to spread plague in your city. May the horned rat gnaw their entrails for it. I do not know where or how they plan to do this. I can only tell you to beware of the cauldron of 1,000 poxes. Your friend."
"It was delivered when you were out," Gotrek said.
"Same messenger?"
"No, not the beggar. Claims it was given to him by a monk."
"You believe him?"
"I saw no reason not to, Manling. I got him to show me the place where he met this monk. It was close to the spot where the last message was delivered."
"You think we should check out the sewers in that area?"
"What are you talking about, Felix?" Elissa asked.
"Skaven,"
Gotrek said ferociously, and the girl's face went pale.
"Not those creatures which attacked the inn the other night?"
"The same."
"What do they have to do with you and Felix?"
"I do not know, girl. I wish I did. It seems like we have become involved in some feud among them."
"I wish you had not told me that."
"I wish you'd not told her that," Felix said.
"Do you think they will attack the pig again?"
Elissa asked, glancing at the doors and windows as if she expected an attack at any second.
"I doubt it," Gotrek said. "And if they do, we'll just slaughter them again."
Elissa sat down in a chair near to the slayer. He cocked his head to one side and smiled, showing several missing teeth.
"Do not worry, girl. Nothing will harm you."
Gotrek was not normally what Felix would consider a reassuring sight, but his words seemed to calm Elissa.
"Do you think the Skaven could have anything to do with this new plague?"
Felix whispered, hoping that no one could overhear him.
"Our ratty friend would like us to believe this."
"Then why hasn't he told us any more?"
"Perhaps he does not know any more himself, Manling."
Thankwell stared into his divining crystal. It was no use. He had no luck locating the plague monks and their accursed cauldron, and that in itself was not reassuring. A seer of his prowess, having invoked the proper rituals and made obeisance in the correct way to the horned rat, should have been able to detect an artifact of its power easily. Instead, he had found no trace of it, or its bearers anywhere. It suggested to Thankwell's keen mind that they were using magic of their own to cover their tracks. He knew that Vilebroth Nul was a powerful sorcerer in his own right, and must have invoked spells of battlement. Further proof of his treachery, as if anyone needed. Of course, the traitor would claim that he had used the magic to escape detection by the human authorities, but Thankwell could see through such transparent ruses. He'd not been born yesterday. The plague monks were simply trying to keep themselves hidden from their rightful leader until they could implement their plan and claim unwarranted glory. Thankwell knew he must prevent this eventuality at all costs, as well as enforcing the Council of 13's edict, of course. He would simply have to find another way of locating his prey. He wondered if the dwarf and his human ally had taken any action yet, or were they too stupid to do anything without prompting from Thankwell? Felix hurried through the darkness, his cloak wrapped around him. He stopped to cast a glance over his shoulder and to fumble at the pomander full of herbs at his throat. The smell of some fresh night soil, which had been cast from the windows high above, assaulted his nostrils. He dreaded putting his foot in it, as much as he dreaded stumbling into one of the heaps of rubbish that lay decomposing in the street. Why were all the houses not connected to the sewers, he wondered? Why did people still insist on dropping their rubbish and filth into the streets? He realized that his long trek through the wilderness with Gotrek had changed him. Until then, he had been a lifelong city dweller, and would never even have noticed the trash which packed the city streets. He paused for a moment to listen. Was that the distant echo of footsteps? Was he being followed? He strained his ears for any noise, but heard nothing. He was not reassured by the silence. This was the wealthiest quarter of Nuln, but not even the rich went abroad in the darkness without a full quota of bodyguards. Robbers and footpads were everywhere. It was not just the prospect of normal everyday robbery that bothered Felix. Ever since the night of the Skaven attack, he had dreaded another ambush by the Ratmen assassins. He felt certain that he had survived their last assault by pure luck alone, and he was all too aware how quickly someone's luck could change. Still, he felt the potential gravity of the situation warranted risking these benighted streets. He needed help, and he knew of only one source that might be able to provide the sort of aid he required. The door he sought was directly ahead of him. Drexler was an expert on diseases, and he might be able to tell Felix something useful if the Skaven really were behind the current outbreak of plague. He knew that the man would most likely think him mad, but he was prepared to take that chance. He was out of his depth, dealing with an enemy that could wield noxious plagues the way a man might wield a sword. What he needed was knowledge, and Drexler impressed him as the man who might have it. He reached up and pulled the handle of the doorbell. He noticed that it was moulded in the shape of a grinning gargoyle's head. In and of itself, this was not unusual, but the appearance was disturbing here and now amid the night and fog. He heard footsteps from within the building, and a peephole within the door rattled open. A faint glimmer of light appeared, level with Felix's eye.
"Who is it?"
asked a voice. Felix recognized it as belonging to Drexler's servant. "Felix Jaeger, I need to see Dr. Drexler."
"Is it an emergency?"
Felix considered for a moment before replying. "Yes."
"Stand away from the door and be warned. We have firearms within."
Felix did as he was told. He heard huge bolts being thrown and the barking of very large dogs. It was apparent that the physician took no chances with his own safety, and Felix in no way blamed him for this. Such precautions were only sensible in the great cities of the Empire.
"Throw back your cowl and stand where I can see you."
Felix did as he was told, and the beam of a lantern was shone full on his face. He saw that the old man had recognized him.
"Sorry, Herr Jaeger,"
the manservant said.
"You can't be too careful these days."
"I quite agree," Felix said. "Now please, take me to your master. I have urgent business with him." Drexler sat by the fire in a huge study. The flicker of the flames underlit his face and made it look vaguely demonic. He leaned forward with a poker and prodded the glowing coals until they collapsed, then added more from the bucket beside the fireplace. When he looked up, the flames were reflected in his glasses. The effect was eerie.
"Now, how can I help you, Herr Jaeger?"
he said calmly, then smiled.
"You do not appear to be ill. Is it the girl?"
Felix glanced round the room. The servant had already retreated, the thick Arabian rugs absorbing his footsteps. It was an impressive chamber, even larger than his father's library in Altdorf, and with a far greater selection of books. Felix's keen eyes sought out dark corners as if he half expected to find enemies there. Then he turned and looked directly at Drexler. "What do you know of the Skaven?" he asked bluntly. Drexler stiffened for a moment, and then carefully placed his poker back in the stand. He took off his glasses, polished them on the cuff of his robe, and gave every appearance of serious consideration to Felix's question.
"They are a race of ratmen, considered to be extinct by many scholars. Spengler thinks they were a subbreed of human mutant. Lieber theorized that they might be the product of ancient sorcery. It is said that in ancient times they warred with the dwarfs, but..."
"I know they're not extinct." Drexler looked at Felix sharply.
"You know?"
"Yes, I fought with them. They are here, in Nuln." Drexler sat back in his chair, placed his spectacles on the bridge of his nose, and gripped an arm of the chair with each hand.
"Please, be seated. You interest me."
Felix allowed himself to slump down in the chair facing Drexler's. The heat from the fire had warmed one arm of it and made him uncomfortable. He pushed it away from the hearth slightly before he started to speak. He told Drexler of his time in the sewer watch and their encounter with the ratmen in the tunnels beneath the city. He omitted only the fact that they had broken into the house of Fritz von Hallstatt and killed him. He spoke of the Skaven attack on the blind pig, which he presumed was some sort of revenge attempt by the ratmen. He left out any mention that he and Gottrek had also fought with the ratmen within the College of Engineering on the night it had been burned to the ground. Drexler watched him with increasing astonishment. When Felix had finished, he spoke.
"Herr Jaeger, if all this is true, why have I not heard more of it? Why haven't the authorities acted?"
"I do not know. Perhaps the Skaven have allies in high places." He was thinking of von Hallstatt now. How many more like him occupied positions of power in Nuln and the rest of the Empire? I sometimes think that there is a conspiracy within our society to cover up the effects of chaos and all its works. He noticed that Drexler flinched slightly at the word conspiracy, but that the mention of chaos did not seem to disturb him at all.
If you were not so obviously sane, I would suspect you of being a lunatic, Drexler added. Certainly, some of what you are saying sounds like the ravings of a madman.
I know it, Felix said. Unfortunately, it is all true.
That is certainly a possibility. In Araby, they do not consider the Ratmen legendary, and I have spoken with several dwarfs who have claimed to have encountered them. The elf seafarers also tell tales of the Ratmen's power. But I fail to see why you have come to me, other than to confide your tale.
Felix handed over the letter that Gotrek had received. Drexler unrolled it and read it calmly.
Clan Pestilens, he said eventually. Yes, I have read of them.
What?
Clan Pestilens. Certain of the old tomes, most notably Liebers, the loathsome Ratmen and all their vile kin, claim that the Skaven are divided into many different clans, each with its own role in Skaven society and its own unique brand of sorcery. Lieber claims that Clan Pestilens were plague makers. He goes so far as to state that they were responsible for the Great Plague of the year 1111. If whoever sent you this letter is a hoaxer, he is certainly an erudite one. I doubt that there are more than 20 people in the Empire who now own a copy of Lieber's book.
Do you?
Yes, I came across references to Lieber's theory about the Great Plague in Moravec's work and sought it out. I have what you might call a professional interest in these things.
May I see it?
Of course. But first you must answer a few of my questions.
Certainly. Ask away.
Do you seriously believe that the Skaven may be behind this new outbreak of plague in the city?
Yes. From what I've seen of them, it would suit their method of warfare. I believe that perhaps they are undergoing a resurgence, and that soon our world will no longer doubt their existence.
Such would accord with Lieber's own theories.
What do you mean? Felix looked up.
Lieber claims that the Skaven have a very high birth rate, and that when the conditions are right, their population grows explosively. At such times, they devour all the food in their own realms, and must seek food and resources elsewhere. At such times, they explode onto the surface world in huge, hungry hordes, and they keep fighting until either they conquer, or so many of them are killed, that they can once more subsist in their own realm.
I must read this book.
Yes, it is very interesting. He makes other claims that are difficult to verify.
Such as?
He claims these eruptions usually correlate with strange disturbances and erratic behaviour from Morslieb, the Lesser Moon.
Such as the one which preceded the Great Plague in 1111.
You are a learned man, Herr Jaeger. Yes, such as that occurrence and the one which preceded the Great Chaos Incursion 200 years ago. I believe that another may be due to occur in our own time.
So all the soothsayers and astrologers claim.
There may be truth in it.
Do you have any other questions?
Yes, but they can wait. I can see you are anxious to get at Lieber's work, and far be it from me to stand between a fellow scholar and his books.
Drexler brought a small set of steps and a lantern, and they proceeded through the rows of bookcases to the furthest corner of the room. From the highest shelf, Drexler dragged down a musty leather-bound tome, handling it reverently with both hands. He blew the fine patina of dust off its cover and handed it to Felix.
There is a table and a reading lamp over there. I will leave you for a few minutes. I have some tasks to perform.
Felix nodded, now totally wrapped up in his excitement over finding this volume. It was heavy. The title and author's name, embossed in gold leaf on the spine, had been almost rubbed away. Two massive hinges of brass held the covers in place and helped them swing outwards. Felix sat down at the table and lit the reading lamp from a candle, turning the tiny handle at the base to extend the wick to its fullest length, then placing the shade back over the flame. The pungent smell of aromatic oil filled the air as he began to read. The book's title page said it had been printed by Altdorf Press over 180 years ago. That meant that Lieber had most likely been around during the last great incursion of chaos, or had at least known people who had been. It was possible that he might even have had first-hand experience of the Ratmen. As he read, Felix discovered that this was exactly what the author claimed. In the introduction, he stated that he had encountered a horde of ratmen during the Great Chaos War. Unlike his fellows, Lieber had been convinced that they were not simply a new form of beast-man, but a completely separate race, and he had devoted the next 10 years of his life to uncovering all manner of information about them. He referred to various scholarly sources, such as Stutt, Van Hal, and Kruger, which Felix made a mental note to consult later. His book was divided into short chapters, each dealing with an aspect of the structure of Skaven society and its various clans. Felix read, horrified, as Lieber dwelled on Clan Mulder's vile experiments with living creatures, changing them into all manner of foul mutant monsters. He recognized the artificers of Clan Scryer as the creatures he and Gottrick had encountered at the College of Engineering. The thing which had set the monster on them in Fritz von Hallstatt's mansion was a grey seer, some sort of verminous priest. Lieber may have written like a ranting maniac, but everything he wrote tallied with Felix's own hard-won experience. Even if the scholar was discredited, he was also correct. Felix paid particular attention to the section on Clan Pestilens, and about how they created diseases and used all manner of foul devices to spread their filthy plagues. The descriptions of the Boil Lurgy and the Flea Bubos made his skin crawl. There were horrors here that went beyond any he had previously imagined. A shadow fell on him, and he looked up to see Drexler standing over him. He realized that he must have been reading for hours in the gloom, and that his eyes hurt from the strain.
"Have you found what you were looking for?" Drexler asked.
"More than I ever wanted to know."
"Good. Come and see me tomorrow, and I may be able to help you. You may take the book with you if you wish."
"Help me? How?"
"We will visit the city morgue."
"How will that help?"
"You will see tomorrow, Herr Jaeger. Now go home and sleep."
Gottrick looked up from his plate as Felix entered the Blind Pig.
"Oh, look what the cat dragged in,"
he said, and stuffed a hunk of black bread into his mouth. Alyssa looked up from her place beside him.
"Oh, Felix, I was so worried. You said you'd be back in a couple of hours, and it's almost dawn. I thought the ratmen might have got you."
Felix laid the book down on the table and hugged her tight.
"I'm fine. I just had to find out a few things."
"The loathsome ratmen and all their vile kin,"
Gottrick read, tilting his head and reading the spine of the book. Alyssa looked at him in astonishment.
"I didn't know you could read," she said.
Gottrick grinned, showing the blackened stumps of his teeth. He flicked the book open with one greasy finger and began turning pages until he found the one bookmarked at Clan Pestilens.
"He knows his stuff, this Lieber. Must have consulted dwarfish sources."
"Yes, yes," Felix said tetchily. "Must have."
"Where did you get this, Mumling?"
"Dr. Drexler."
"He's a man of many interests, your friend Drexler, if he owns books like this one."
"You'll get a chance to find out for yourself."
"Will I indeed? How so?"
"Because we're going with him to the morgue."
Gracia Thankwell scurried backwards and forwards, pacing the floor of his lair like one of the captured humans he kept working the treadmills back in Skavenblight. His mind raced faster under the pressure of all the warpstone snuff he had consumed. Still, those verminous Clan Pestilens traitors had conspired to elude him. Their sorcery had proved effective, even against his most subtle and potent divinations. His spies had not been able to uncover another word about their location, no matter how deep they dug. It was all very frustrating. Somewhere deep in his bowels, Thankwell could sense with ominous certainty that the hour when the plague monk's plan would be implemented was drawing very close. He knew that he must be correct in this, for in the past such premonitions had never been wrong. He was a grey seer, after all. A terrible sense of impending doom filled Thankwell's mind. He wanted to run for cover, to scurry to a hiding place, but right at this moment he could think of nowhere to go. Plague, he kept thinking. Plague was coming.
"Good morning, Dr. Drexler,"
the priest of Moor said, and coughed. He looked up from his table set in an alcove at the entrance to the city morgue. His black cowl hid his face, making him seem as sinister as the god he served. The air was filled with the smell of black roses, fresh plucked from the gardens of Moor.
What is it you require?
I would like to see the corpses of the latest plague victims. Felix was astonished at the calm manner in which the doctor made his request. Most of the people in the city would rather run 1,000 miles than do what the doctor wanted to do. The priest obviously thought so too. He threw back the cowl of his robes to reveal a pallid, bony face framed by a stringy black beard.
That is a most unusual request,
he said.
I will have to consult with my superiors.
As you wish, Drexler said. Tell them I simply want to ascertain whether all the victims died of the same disease, or whether we're going to have a variety of plagues to deal with this summer. The priest nodded and retreated within the shadowy depths of the temple. Somewhere off in the distance a great bell tolled gloomily. Somewhere, Felix knew, another funeral service was about to begin. The priest returned presently.
The Archlector says you may proceed,
he said.
However, he also asked me to tell you that most of the bodies have already been sent to the gardens of Moor for interment. We only have the 4 who came in last night.
That shall be sufficient, Drexler said. I hope. Felix, Gotrick, and Dr. Drexler all paid the ceremonial copper piece and donned the black robes and headpieces of Moor. This was sacred ground, the priest told them, and it was needful that they do so. The robes had obviously been made for humans, and the hems of Gotrick's dragged along the floor. Without another word, they set off into the gloomy interior of the mortuary. It was cool, and it was dark. The floors were clean, washed with some sacred unguents. The smell of attar of black roses was everywhere. It was not what Felix had expected. He had expected rot and the smell of spoiled meat. He had expected the scent of death. The central chamber of the death god's house was arrayed with marble slabs. Upon each slab lay a corpse. Felix averted his eyes. The bodies belonged to people who had died under unusual circumstances and who needed special rites said over them to ensure their souls' easy passage into the afterlife. Many of them were not pretty. On one slab lay the blue and bloated corpse of a fisherman, which had obviously recently been dragged from the Reich. On another lay the body of a woman who had been hideously cut up and mutilated by some madman. They passed the body of a child, which, Felix saw when he looked closer, had had its head separated from the body. He looked away swiftly. Here the smell overcame the scent of incense and unguents. Felix understood with a start why their cowls had a special flap of cloth which could be drawn over the mouth and nostrils. He adjusted his to cut down on the stink and moved on to the section where the plague victims lay. Nearby stood 2 priests, eyes closed, censers held in their hands. They muttered prayers for the dead and showed no fear of what had killed them. Perhaps they were simply inured to fear by their long exposure to death, Felix thought. Or perhaps they simply did not fear to die. They were, after all, priests of the death god, and were assured of preferential treatment in the hereafter. He decided that if he ever encountered one of the priests later, he would ask him about this. He was curious how they had become so hardened. Drexler advanced cautiously to the slabs and exchanged words and coins with the priests. They nodded, ceased their muttering, and withdrew. Without fuss, Drexler drew back a sheet from the nearest body. It was the body of a short man, a trader, dressed in his best. A black rose was set in the lapel of his tunic. He looked oddly exposed and defenceless in death. He had been cleaned up since he died.
Some bruising on the hands and knees, as well as on the forehead, Drexler pointed out. Most likely from where the man fell over in the last extremities of his anguish. Felix thought of the spasming of the man he had seen in the street and understood how this could have happened.
Notice the swollen areas on the chest and throat and the slight crust of greenish stuff on the upper lip and nostrils?
Drexler pushed the eyelids back with his fingers, and there were faint traces of green around the eye rims as well.
I'm sure that if I performed a dissection, something which our priestly friends here would object to, we would find the lungs filled with a green, viscous fluid. It is this which eventually kills the victim. They literally drown in it.
A horrible way to die, Felix said.
In my experience, few diseases kill pleasantly, Herr Jaeger, Drexler said.
He moved on to the next body and drew back the sheet. This was the corpse of a middle-aged woman dressed in black. Her eyes were open and stared at the ceiling in horror. There was trace of rouge on her cheeks and of kohl around her eyes. Felix found that there was something rather pathetic about this attempt to improve the appearance of one who was now dead.
"At least you suggested the right colours,"
Gotrek said somewhat tactlessly, Felix thought. Drexler shrugged.
"Widow's robes. Her husband must have died within the last year or so. She'll be joining him now."
He moved along to the next slab and studied the body of a small child. There was a family resemblance to the dead widow. Drexler looked at the piece of parchment that was around her neck.
"Daughter. An unlucky family, it seems."
He turned and looked at Felix.
"Nothing unusual, unfortunately. It is quite common for plagues and other diseases to spread among families and those who live together generally. It seems this plague can shift like a summer cold."
Felix sniffed.
"What exactly are we looking for here, Herr Drexler?"
"A pattern. Something out of the ordinary. Something that would tell us whether there was any common factor that all these poor victims shared."
"How would that help us?" asked Gotrek.
Felix already knew the answer.
"If we can find that, we might find out how the disease is spreading. We might be able to take steps to isolate it. Or, if it's really coming from the Skaven, we might be able to trace it back to its source."
"Very good, Herr Jaeger. In a way, it's like solving a murder or a mystery. You need to be able to see the clues. That way you'll find the culprit."
"And have you seen any clues?" Gotrek asked.
Drexler removed the last sheet from the last body. It was a young man, barely out of his 20s. Felix felt a sudden shocking sense of his own mortality. The plague's victims could not be much older than he.
"Anything?"
Felix asked, his mouth suddenly dry.
"Unfortunately not," Drexler said,
then turned to leave. After the gloom of the mortuary, the daylight seemed impossibly bright. After the quiet of the halls of the dead, the cacophony of the street seemed impossibly loud. After the perfumed smell of the vaults, the stench of the city was nearly overwhelming. Felix's nose was runny, and there was a slight pain in his joints. "Not the plague," he told himself, fingering the pomander. "Just a summer cold." His earlier unanswered question returned to him.
"Why don't the priests of Mor get all the plagues and diseases that kill their clients? Does their lord extend them some special protection?"
"I do not know. Their mausoleum is clean and well washed, and in my experience that helps stop the spread of disease. They are priests, and thus well fed and well rested. That helps too."
"Really?"
"Oh yes. Grief, stress, poor living conditions, dirt, bad food, all contribute to the spread of disease, and sometimes help decide who will survive it."
"Why is that?"
"I do not know. I can only say I have observed it to be true."
"So you think these things help make the priests of Mor immune to disease?"
"I never said they were immune, Herr Jaeger. Every now and again one of them falls ill."
"What then?"
"He goes to his god, with no doubt a special dispensation in the afterlife due to the strength of his faith."
"That's not very reassuring," Felix said.
"If you want reassurance, Herr Jaeger, talk to a priest. I am a physician, and unfortunately, I must now return to making my living. I'm sorry I could not have been of more help."
Felix bowed to him.
"You've already been a great help, Herr Doctor. Thank you for your time."
Drexler bowed back and turned to go. At the last moment, he turned and spoke.
"Let me know if there are any new developments," he said. "Look for a pattern."
"I will," Felix said.
"Yeah, I'm going to look for a beer," Gotrek said.
"I think that might be a good idea," Felix said, suddenly wanting desperately to get the taste of the mortuary out of his mouth.
Felix stared down into his third beer and considered what they had seen. His head ached a little from what he kept having to tell himself was a summer cold, but the beer was helping to take away that pain. Gotrek sat slumped beside the fire, staring into the flames. Heinz was standing by the bar, getting things ready for the evening rush. The other bouncers nursed their drinks and played hook knife at the next table. Felix was troubled. He felt baffled and stupid. He knew that there must be a pattern here, but he just could not see it. It looked like something invisible and deadly was killing the people of Nuld, and there was nothing he could do to stop it. It was frustrating. He almost wished for another raid by the gutter runners, or another attack by Skaven warriors. What he could see, he could fight. Or, to be absolutely specific, what he could see, the Slayer could fight, and most likely beat. Thinking, Felix realized, was not their strong suit. Once he had prided himself on being a clever and well-educated man, a scholar and a poet. But things had changed in his wanderings. He could not remember the last time he had put pen to paper, and last night was the first night in a long, long time when he had opened a book with any pretensions to scholarship. He had fallen right into the role of wandering mercenary adventurer, and his brain appeared to have fallen dormant. He was out of his depth, he knew. He was not a razor-witted investigator of the sort which featured in the plays of Detlef Sierck. And, to be honest, he did not believe that in real life things were quite the way they did in the theatre, with clues arranged in neat chains of logic, pointing towards an inevitable solution. Life was messier than that. Things were rarely simple, and if there were really clues, doubtless they could be given far more than one neat and logical interpretation. He thought about Drexler. So far the doctor had done nothing but help them. But it would be easy to put a sinister interpretation on his work and his motives. He possessed too much knowledge of the sort that was frowned on in the Empire, and that in itself was suspicious. In the more superstitious parts of the human realms, just the possession of the books that Drexler owned would be cause for burning at the stake. The reading of them would cause a witch hunter to execute him without trial. And yet Felix himself had read one of those books, and he knew he was no friend to chaos. Could not Drexler be in the same boat? Could he simply be what he appeared to be, a man who was concerned with acquiring any knowledge that would help him in his vocation of curing people, no matter what the source? It was all too difficult, Felix thought. The beer was starting to make his head spin. Ultimately, he knew in his heart of hearts that there had to be a link between the deaths of all the people. He was certain, in fact, that he had already seen evidence of it, but was just too foolish to know what it was. So far, the only link he could think of was that they had all ended up in the halls of the dead, in the Temple of Mor, and that was no link at all. Eventually, every man and every woman would end up there, en route to burial in the Gardens of Mor. Every citizen of Nuln would end up in that huge cemetery one day. He wanted to laugh bitterly at that, but then a thought struck him. Wait. There was a link between most of the people he knew had died of the plague. The man he had seen in the street 2 days ago had worn a black rose. Another victim, the one in the mortuary, had also worn a black rose, the traditional symbol of mourning. The woman and her child had been widow and orphan. Only the last one had not shown any connection, but perhaps if he dug deeply enough he would find one. What could it mean? Was the Temple of Mor itself involved in the spread of the plague? Did the corruption run so deep? Somehow Felix doubted it. The first man he had seen had just been to a funeral. Had any of the others? The one wearing the rose was virtually a certainty. The mother and child? He did not know. But he knew a way to find out. He pulled himself up out of the chair and tapped Gotrek on the shoulder. "We need to go back to the Temple of Mor," he said.
"Are you developing a morbid attachment to the place?"
"No. I think it may hold the key to this plague." It was dark when they arrived at the temple. It did not matter. The gates were open. Lanterns were lit. As the priests never tired of pointing out, the gates of Mor's kingdom were always open, and a man could never tell when he might pass through them. Felix asked to talk with the priest who he had spoken to earlier. He was in luck. The man was still on duty. The offer of some silver procured the information that he was always willing to talk. Felix and the Slayer were shown into a small Spartan antechamber. The walls were lined with books. They reminded him of the ledgers which lined the walls of his father's office. In a way, that was what they were. They contained the names and descriptions of the dead. Felix did not doubt they contained records of donations for funeral services and prayers to be offered in the temple. He had had dealings with the priests of Mor before.
"So you are Dr. Drexler's assistants?"
the priest asked. Yes, in a manner of speaking.
In a manner of speaking?
We are helping with his researches into the plagues. We are trying to find a way to stop them. The priest showed a slow, sad smile.
Then I don't know if I should help you.
Why?
They're good for business.
Seeing Felix's shocked look, he gave a small polite cough.
Just a small attempt at humour,
he said eventually. You look tired, Felix said to break the silence. The priest gave a long, hacking cough. And ill.
In truth, I do not feel so well, and it's been a long day. The brother who should have replaced me has himself fallen sick and is cloistered in his cell. He's not been well since he presided over the inhumations yesterday.
Felix and Gotrek exchanged looks. Felix nodded politely. Gotrek growled.
Associate does not look much like a physician, Herr Jaeger,
the priest said. He helps with the heavy work.
Of course. Well, how can I help you?
I need to know more about those people Dr. Drexler looked at this morning.
Not a problem.
He tapped the leather-bound book in front of him.
All the appropriate details will be in the current librum. What exactly do you need to know?
Had any of the deceased attended any funeral services just recently?
Frau Koch and her daughter had. I officiated at the inhumation of Herr Koch myself last week at the gardens.
And the other gentleman?
No, I do not think so. He is not a man who we would allow to attend any of our services, except his own inhumation, of course.
What do you mean? I thought anyone could enter the gardens of Moor.
Not quite. Herr Grunwald belonged to that noxious class of criminals who make their living by robbing family crypts and stealing corpses to sell to dissectionists and necromancers. He was under interdict. He would never be allowed within the gates of the garden on pain of supreme chastisement.
Death, you mean?
Precisely.
And the man wearing the black rose?
I will check the records. I suspect that, given the nature of his adornment, we will find that he, too, had attended an inhumation recently. You're not from Nuln, are you, Herr Jaeger? I can tell from your accent.
You're correct. I come from Altdorf originally.
Then perhaps you did not know it is a local custom to pick one of the black roses from the Death God's garden when you attend a ceremony there.
I thought people bought them from the flower sellers.
No. The roses grow only in the gardens, and it is forbidden to sell them for profit.
There was silence for a few minutes as the priest studied the records.
Ah, yes. His sister passed away last week, inhumed in the gardens of Moor. Is there anything else I can do for you?
He asked brightly. No, I think you've told us enough.
Can you tell me what all this is about?
Not at the moment. I'm sure Dr. Drexler will inform you when he has completely formulated his theory.
Please ask him to do so, Herr Jaeger.
As they left, the priest was bent almost double in a fit of coughing.
Tell me what all this is about, Mandling, Gotrek said as they entered the street.
Felix glanced around to make sure that there was no one else close enough to overhear them. All of the people who we know have died of the new plague have visited the Gardens of Moor recently. The tomb robber as well, most likely.
So?
That's the only connection I've been able to see, and Drexler told us to look for connections.
It seems unlikely, Mandling.
Do you have any better ideas? Felix asked, allowing a measure of his frustration to show in his voice. The Slayer considered for a moment, then shook his head.
You think we'll find our little scuttling friends brewing plagues up in the city cemetery?
Possibly.
There's only one way to find out.
I know.
When?
Tonight, after work. It will be quiet then, and we can take a look around. Felix shuddered. He could think of many places he would rather be than crawling around the city's main cemetery after midnight with a bunch of Skaven in attendance. But what else was he going to do? If they took their tale to the authorities, they would most likely not be believed. Perhaps the Skaven would get wind of their presence and move their operation. At least he felt sure that there could not be too many of the Ratmen up there. A small army camped in the graveyard would be noticed. Hopefully, they would be few enough for the Slayer's axe to take care of. Felix certainly hoped so. The gates of the Gardens of Moor were not open. Steel bars filled the archway, padlocked by heavy chains. A small postern gate was occupied by a night watchman who sat warming his hands at a brazier. Spikes covered the high wall which surrounded the city graveyard. Felix wondered at that. In some ways the cemetery resembled a fortress, but he was unsure as to whether the walls were intended to keep grave robbers out or the dead in. There had been times in history, he reflected, when the dead had not slept easily in their graves. There was a basic primal fear at work here, he thought, something intended to separate the dead from the living. In its way, the physical barrier was reassuring. Except, of course, when you intended to broach it, as he and the Slayer did tonight. What was he doing here, Felix wondered. He should be at home, back in the inn, sharing his pallet with Alyssa now that the night's work was done, not skulking around in the shadows preparing to break into the city graveyard, a crime for which the penalty was several years' imprisonment and interdiction by the Temple of Mor. Surely there had to be an easier way than this. Surely somebody else could deal with the problem. But he knew this was not true. If he and Gotrek did not hunt down the Skaven, who else was interested? They were the only people crazy enough to involve themselves in these affairs. If they did not do it, no one else would. The authorities seemed to want to turn a blind eye to the evil which was happening in their midst. The best possible interpretation Felix could put on it was that they were ignorant or afraid. The worst possible interpretation was that they were in collusion with the powers of darkness. How many more Fritz von Hallstatt's occupied positions of trust throughout the Empire? Most likely he would never know. All he could really do was act out his part, perform the share of the actions which seemed to be allocated to himself and the Slayer, and hope things turned out for the best. What else could he do? If he left the city, it was possible the plague would spread, and that it would wipe out Heinz and Otto and Alyssa and the others that he knew and cared about here. It was possible that thousands might die if he and the Slayer failed to solve this riddle. And if he was honest with himself, he had to admit that the thought of the responsibility thrilled as well as frightened him. In a way, it was like being the hero of one of the stories he had read when he was a child. He was involved in intrigue and danger, and the stakes were high. Unfortunately, unlike the stories he had read when he was a child, the stakes were also all too real. It was easily possible that he and the Slayer might fail, and that death would be their reward. It was that thought, not the cold night air, which made him shiver. They made their way round the walls of the cemetery until they found a conveniently dark place. Felix made sure the lantern he carried was securely attached to the clip on his sword belt, then vaulted up, caught one of the metal spikes, and used it for leverage to pull himself to the top of the wall. Perhaps the spikes were mere ornaments after all, he told himself, and served no other purpose. The moon broke through the cloud, and he found himself looking out over the graveyard. It was an eerie sight in the silvered light. Mist was rising. Gravestones loomed out of it like islands rising from some dismal sea. Trees leaned like enormous ogres, raising branched arms in worship to the dark gods. Somewhere in the distance, the lantern of a night watchman flickered and then vanished, whether because its bearer had returned to the watch house, or for some other, darker reason Felix hoped never to find out. It was still. He was not sure whether it was sweat or mist that beaded his forehead. The thought that this excursion would do nothing to help his cold struck him, and the incongruity made him want to laugh. He flinched as the beak of Gotrek's great axe curved over the stone beside him, and the Slayer used it to pull himself up the wall. The dwarf was swift and surprisingly nimble when he wanted to be, and when he was reasonably sober, Felix thought. "Let's get on with it," he muttered, and they dropped down into the silent graveyard. All around them loomed the gravestones. Some were tumbled, others were overgrown with weeds and black rose bushes. Here and there, an engraved inscription was almost visible in the moonlight. The graves were laid out in long rows, like streets of the dead. Old, gnarled trees overshadowed them in places. Everywhere, the mist drifted spectrally, sometimes becoming so thickly cloudy that vision was obscured. The smell of black roses filled the air. During the day, it was possible that the Gardens of Mor was a pleasant place, but at night, Felix found his mind turning all too quickly to thoughts of ghosts. It was easy to envision the countless bodies decomposing under the ground, worms burrowing through rotting flesh and the empty eye sockets of corpses. From there, it was but a short leap of the imagination to picture those corpses emerging from beneath the ground, skeletal hands reaching upward through the soil like the fingers of drowning swimmers emerging from beneath the sea. He tried to push the thoughts from his mind, but it was hard. He had seen stranger things happen, had encountered the walking dead before, in the hills of the Border Princes, on his cursed trip across those empty lands with the exiled Von Diehl family. He knew that old dark magic was capable of stirring the dead into an unholy semblance of life, and filling them with a terrible hunger for the flesh and blood of the living. He tried telling himself that this was holy ground, consecrated to Mor, and that the Death God protected his charges from such awful happenings. But these were strange times, and he had heard dire rumours that the powers of the old gods were waning as the power of chaos increased. He tried telling himself that perhaps such things happened in far-off lands like Kislev, which bordered the chaos wastes. But this was Nuln, the heart of the Empire, the core of human civilization. But part of him whispered that chaos was here too, that all of the human lands were rotten to the core. To reassure himself, he glanced down at Gotrek. The Slayer seemed unafraid. A look of grim determination was engraved on his face. His axe was held ready to strike, and he stood immobile, nose twitching, head cocked, listening to the night.
"Many strange scents tonight," the dwarf said. "Many strange noises. This is a busy place for a boneyard."
"What do you mean?"
"Things moving. A bad feeling in the air. A lot of rats in the undergrowth. You were right about this place, Manling."
"Wonderful," Felix said, wondering why he was usually right when he least wanted to be. "Let's get moving. We want to find the area where there are fresh graves. That's where the funerals will take place. And that's where the plagues are coming from, I think." They moved along the thoroughfares between the graves, and Felix slowly realized that the Gardens of Mor were truly a necropolis, a city of the dead. It had its districts and its palaces, just like the city outside. Here was the poor quarter, the area where paupers were thrown into unmarked communal graves. There were the neatly tended gravestones where the prosperous middle classes were buried. They competed with each other in the ornateness of their headstones, the way jealous neighbours might compete in life. Winged saints, armed with stone swords, held aloft books inscribed with the names and occupations of the dead. Stone dragons hunched over the last resting places of merchants like dogs protecting bones. Cowled, scythe-wielding figures of Mor stood guard over stones of black marble. In the distance, Felix could see the large marble mausoleums of the rich nobles. They occupied palaces in death, as they had in life. Here and there, black roses had been placed in bowers. Their sickly sweet perfume assaulted Felix's nostrils. Sometimes there were letters, or gifts, or other mementos from the living to the dead. An overwhelming feeling of sadness started to mingle with Felix's earlier feelings of fear. These things were some indicators of the futility of human life. It did not matter how rich or successful the men who lay in those graves had been. They were gone now, just as one day Felix would be. He could understand, in some ways, the Slayer's desire to be remembered. "Life is written on sand," he thought, "and the wind is blowing the grains away." They chose a place near the open graves and concealed themselves behind some toppled tombstones. The smell of fresh-turned earth filled Felix's nostrils. The chill of the mist bit through his clothing. He felt patches of dampness on his breeches where they touched dew-bedecked plants. He pulled his cloak tight against the cold, and then they settled down to wait. Felix glanced up at the sky. The moon had more than half completed its passage, and still nothing had happened. All that he had heard in that time was the scrabbling of ordinary rats. All they had seen were some vicious, mad-eyed vermin. There was no sign of the Skaven. Perhaps, he thought, half disappointed and half relieved, he had been wrong. Maybe they had best consider going home. Now would be a good time to leave. The streets would be deserted. Most every honest person would be safely asleep. He wiped his nose with the edge of his cloak. It was running, and he knew this night outside would do nothing for his cold. He stretched his legs, trying to work the stiffness and numbness out of them, when he felt Gotrek's hand on his shoulder.
"Be still," the Slayer whispered. "Something comes."
Felix froze and glared out into the darkness, wishing that he possessed the dwarf's keen senses and penetrating night vision. He heard his heart beat loudly within his chest. His muscles, locked in their unnatural position, began to protest against the strain, but still he held himself immobile, hardly daring to breathe, hoping that whatever was coming would not notice him before he saw it. Suddenly, he scented a foul and loathsome taint in the air. It smelled of rotting flesh and weeping sores, like the body of a sick man left unwashed in a hospice for weeks or years. If disease had a smell, it would be like this, Felix thought. He knew in an instant that his suspicions had been correct. In order to keep from gagging, he held the pomander close to his nose and prayed that its spells would make him proof against whatever was coming. A hideous figure limped into view. It resembled a skaven, but it was like no rat man Felix had ever seen before. Here and there, great boils erupted from its mangy fur, and something hideous dripped from its weeping skin. Most of its body was wrapped round with soiled bandages encrusted with pus and filth. It was emaciated, and its eyes glowed with a mad, feverish light. Its movements were almost drunken. It reeled as if in the grip of a disease which interfered with its sense of balance, and yet when it moved, it sometimes did so with bursts of obscene speed, with the unholy energy of a sick man mustering the last of his strength for some hideous task. It tittered loathsomely as it moved and talked to itself in its strange tongue. As it did all this, Felix noticed it held a cage in one palsied hand, and in that cage seethed rats. It stopped for a moment, hopped on one stringy leg. Then it opened the cage and took out a rat. Others burst free of the open door and dropped to the ground into the graves. As they fell, they leaked urine and foul excrement. When it touched the earth, for a brief moment, there was a hideous, overwhelming stink that threatened to make Felix gag, and which only slowly subsided. The rats pulled themselves from the graves and dragged themselves feebly into cover. Felix could see that they left a trail of noxious slime in their wake, and it was obvious they were dying. What foul thing was going on here, Felix wondered. The skaven capered past. Felix was surprised and appalled when the Slayer did not immediately strike it down, but instead gestured for Felix to follow and then set off on its track. It took Felix but a few moments to understand Gotrek's plan. They were going to follow the plague monk of Clan Pestilence, for such Felix guessed it to be, back to its lair. They were seeking a path into the very heart of corruption in the Gardens of Mor. As they followed the capering plague monk through the mist-enshrouded cemetery, Felix noticed that there were other skaven present. Judging by the empty cages they carried, they had all been on the same evil errand and were now returning to their lair. Some limped along, borne down by the weight of rotting corpses, recently exhumed, judging by the earth which still clung to their grave clothes. He and the Slayer were forced to move cautiously, lurking behind tombstones, taking refuge in the shadows beneath the trees, moving from patch of cover to patch of cover. In some ways, Felix thought it was unnecessary. The plague monks did not seem as alert as normal skaven. They seemed quite mad, and often oblivious to their surroundings. Maybe their brains were as rotted as their bodies by the diseases they carried. Sometimes they would stop for minutes and scratch themselves until they bled, or their festering scabs broke, and then they would taste the pus which stained their claws. Sometimes they would pause and stare into space for no reason. At times foul excrement would belch forth from beneath their tails, and they would lie down and writhe in it, tittering insanely. Felix felt his flesh crawl. These creatures were not sane, even by the crazed standards of Skaven. Now at last they were making their way towards a vast mausoleum deep in the noble quarter of the gardens. They were walking along paved pathways between well-tended gardens. Here and there statues loomed over sundials that were useless at this hour. More and more plague monks were becoming visible, and more than once Felix and the Slayer hid themselves within the arched entrances to the tomb of some noble clan. Only when the Skaven had passed did they rejoin the nightmare procession, making its way deeper into the old part of the cemetery, where the largest and most tumbled down of the tombs were. They paused at a corner, and Felix noticed the Skaven disappearing into the mouth of the largest and most ancient of the mausoleums. The building was built almost like a temple, in the old Tilian style, with pillars supporting the roof of the entrance hall, and statues of what Felix assumed were the builders' families, held in niches between the columns. Only after the last Skaven had disappeared did he and Gotrek advance to the stairs leading up to the entrance. In the moonlight, Felix could see that the mausoleum was in a state of great disrepair. The stonework had crumbled. The friezes had been eaten away by the effects of centuries of wind and rain. The faces had crumbled off the statues to be replaced by lichen. It looked like the stone itself was suffering from some terrible disease. The gardens around it were wild and overgrown. Felix could not be sure, but he guessed that the family who had built this place had died out. The place had an uncared-for look, as if no one had visited the place in years. By day, this would be a forbidding enough place. On this night, Felix felt no great urge to look within. Gotrek, however, bounded up the stairs as fast as his short legs could carry him. The runes on his axe gleamed in the moonlight. He grinned at the prospect of confronting the Skaven in their lair. Briefly, it struck Felix that the dwarf was just as mad in his own way as the Skaven were in theirs, and perhaps the best thing he could do was scuttle off and leave them all to their own devices. Felix fought to bring this urge under control as they reached the doorway. He was surprised to find that there was no way in, only a blank stone wall. Gotrek stood before it, puzzled for a minute, scratched his tattooed head with one blunt finger, and then reached out to touch one of the stone faces on the side of the arch. As he did so, the wall in front of them slowly and silently rotated to reveal an entranceway.
"Shoddy work," Gotrek muttered. "Dwarf work would not be so easy to detect."
"Yes, yes," Felix mumbled uneasily, and then followed Gotrek through the open entrance of the tomb. The door slid silently closed behind them. The stench was worse within. The walls were thoroughly caked with filth. Felix could feel it squelch under his hands as he fumbled his way forward through the darkness. Remembering the foul acts he had witnessed the plague monks perform made him want to vomit. Instead, though, he forced himself to follow the faint glow of the runes on the slayer's axe ahead of him. Gotrek moved quickly and surely, as if he had no difficulty seeing, even in the absence of light. Felix suspected that this might be the case, and that the slayer's vision might be as good in the gloom as it was in the daylight. He had followed the dwarf through dark places before, and was certain that the slayer knew what he was doing. All the same, he wished that he could light the lantern he carried. From somewhere off in the distance, he heard a faint scratching sound, and he revised that thought. Perhaps a lantern would not be such a good idea after all. It would certainly warn the Skaven of their presence, and Felix felt sure that their one chance of survival in the face of the Ratmen's greater numbers was to attack swiftly with the advantage of surprise. Still, if he was going to fight, he was going to need light at some point, he thought. He prayed he had a chance to light his lamp before moving into battle. He almost lost his balance as he put his weight forward, and there was nothing there. Recovering himself, he realized that he was on a stair heading down. This was indeed a large mausoleum. Whoever had built this place had certainly spent a lot of money, he thought. And why not? They were going to spend eternity here, or so they had thought. Ahead of them, now, he could hear a loud chittering. It sounded like the Skaven were involved in some obscene ritual. A faint glow of greenish, sickly light illuminated the corridor ahead. It looked like they were about to confront the Ratmen in their lair. Vilebroth Nul cackled as one of his leprous fingers broke off and fell into the bubbling cauldron. It was a good sign. His own plague-eaten flesh would help feed the spirit which lurked there and strengthen the brew that would soon bring death to his enemies. The Cauldron of 1,000 Poxes was at once a sacred relic and a weapon for Clan Pestilence, and he intended that it would fulfill both purposes at once. From his pouch he took out a thick handful of warpstone dust and threw it into the great vat. His remaining fingers tingled from the warpstone's touch, and he licked them clean, feeling the tingling transfer itself to his tongue as he did so. He licked his gums so that some of the dust would contaminate the abscesses and ulcers there, and perhaps make their contents even more contagious. Null hawked a huge gob of phlegm into his mouth, and then spat it into the thick soupy mixture for good measure, all the while stirring with the great ladle carved from the thigh-bone of a dragon. He could sense the pestilential power rising from the cauldron, the way an ordinary skaven might feel the heat from a fire. It was as if he stood in front of a mighty conflagration of toxic energies. He breathed deeply, pulling the heady vapours that rose from the mixture into his lungs, and instantly was rewarded with a thick, treacly cough. He could almost feel his lungs clogging with fluid as the corruption brewed there. It was a just reward, he thought. His plans were going well. The tests were almost complete. The new plague was as virulent as could be hoped, but most importantly, it was his. He had used an old recipe, but had added the new secret ingredient himself. Forever afterwards, among the faithful of Clan Pestilens, it would be known as Null's Pox. His name would be inscribed in the great Liber Bubonicus. He would be long remembered as the originator of a new disease, one that would ravage the furless ones like a ferocious beast of prey. With every night the brew grew thicker. With every new plague corpse added to the mix, the disease grew stronger. Soon, he judged, it would be ready. Already bodies suffering from the symptoms of the plague had been returned to the cemetery. He gave humble thanks to the horned rat for the inspiration which had made him seek out a hiding place where he could observe the results of his handiwork. And where else could he find such a rich source of contaminated bodies to drop into the brew? Tomorrow night he would dispatch his agents to drop contaminated rats into the wells and through the roofs of the great abattoirs where the humans slaughtered their meat. After that, the plague would spread most swiftly. He added more of the corpse roses to the mixture. These were his final secret ingredients to the brew. There were no finer and no stronger ones to be found. They grew on plants whose roots dug through the flesh of corpses. They were ripe and strong with accumulated death energies. He breathed deeply of the scent of corruption and peered out with his filmed eyes at his followers. They lay sprawled across the ancient human death chamber, twitching and scratching, coughing and hawking, like the true members of Clan Pestilens they were. He knew that each and every one of them was united in their sincere dedication to the cause of the clan. They were filled with the sort of brotherhood which few other Skaven could understand. Not for them the endless intrigues and the constant scrabble for advantage. They had sought and found abnegation of self in true worship of the horned rat in his most concrete form, the bringer of disease, the spreader.